This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. As our population lives longer and wishes to remain active throughout life, the demand is growing for surgical interventions that can help returning ailing joints to pain-free health. And here with a new technological advance on the scene to assist in this goal is Dr. Robert Sherman. He's Assistant Professor of Orthopedic Surgery, specializing in joint reconstructive surgery at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Sherman. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So the demand is growing for patients to maintain their active lifestyles. And, you know, as we age or just over time, you know, the joints wear out, hips, knees, whatever. Tell us what you see, what's happening out there.
We see a lot of patients in the office every day complaining of hip and knee pain. There are a lot of different ailments, and depending on your age and the type of injury you had, we'll see all different things. But today we're going to be talking a little bit more of our middle-aged and older patients that have a lot of arthritic symptoms. And patients come in complaining of achy pain in their knees and their hips when the weather changes and it gets wet out. And unfortunately, at this time of year, with the weather becoming fall and winter, this is the worst time of year when patients are complaining of that pain and stiffness in their knees and their hips.
And that's mostly due to arthritis.
Many cases it's due to arthritis.
So what have been the conventional, we're going to get onto this new technique, but what has been your conventional approach to help people with that kind of situation?
So we always try to start conservatively and do the lower risk procedures first. So we'll examine patients, we'll get x-rays, we'll make the diagnosis that indeed it is arthritis that's causing the problem. It's very common for people to come in and say, I have horrible arthritis, and it's something completely different. So it is important to be evaluated and to confirm that you actually have arthritis.
Let me just stop you there. So how do you make that confirmatory diagnosis?
It's based off examining a patient, evaluating how much motion they have in their knee, how stable their knee or hip is, and more importantly, old school, old fashioned x-rays are the best way to make the diagnosis. Patients always want an MRI, but to diagnose arthritis, x-ray is better than MRI. It's one of those few times that the cheaper and older technology is better than some of the newer technologies.
That's really good to know. So now you've determined someone has arthritis. So what has been the next step?
So in all cases, we start with the simple things. We do injections with cortisone. We do injections with something called hyaluronic acid, which is a lubricant gel that we can inject in joints. We try bracing. We encourage weight loss. We encourage using a cane or a walker if it's necessary. We do a lot of physical therapy. And then we get into the surgical options, which may be an arthroscopy, where we actually go make a couple small incisions in, say, a knee and put a camera in there and look around, and we can use some instruments to clean up some arthritis and take care of some tears in the knee. Or more conventionally, when all that fails, we talk about hip and knee replacement.
So at this point, you would be doing, let's say, an arthroscopy. The mechanism for doing that was just standard what? Explain and describe how that looks or what's involved.
Arthroscopy is indicated for patients that have a tear of their meniscus, which is a piece of cartilage in their knee, and come in with primarily locking and catching symptoms in their knee. And it's a good operation for somebody whose arthritis is mild, but their biggest complaint is that their knee is catching and locking. And we can debride the meniscus or cut out the torn part and allow it to move more freely.
So that has been a conventional method, and it's been successful.
Very successful in the right patients for many years.
But now you've got a new technology that we're going to talk about today. Tell us about it. And I understand it includes a robot.
So the robot and the new technology have to do with knee and hip replacement. And this is the next step after the injections, after arthroscopy. So when a patient has severe arthritis in their knee and all the other treatments have failed, we often talk about replacing their joint, whether it's a hip, a knee, or a partial knee. And we'll talk about that in a second. So conventionally, we talk about hip and knee replacement. And it's a great operation. It's actually the number two and number three most cost-effective operations that we do in this country, allowing people to have a much better quality of life and return to a much more functional a way of life. And conventionally, it's involved different techniques, but we now have a new technique to allow the knee and the hip replacement to be done much more precisely and much more accurately. And we hope that will translate into much better outcomes, and that the actual replacements will last a lot longer.
So as I mentioned before, and you haven't yet gotten to this concept of the robot. I know that, well, God, you just hear everywhere robots are taking over. I mean, they're being used in so many different things, whether it's to deconstruct an IED in Iraq or, excuse me, or to help with, recently I've heard that they might have Ebola patients treated with robots. I mean, there's this whole concept. So what is the robot doing for you? What exactly is the robot?
So there's all different types of robots, and a robot's a fascinating thing because oftentimes when we talk about robots, we think of looking back at Star Wars, C-3PO or R2-D2, these human-like things that are robots. But that's not accurate, and that is a type of robot. But in our case, the robot is a robotic arm that is connected to a series of computers that allows the machine to recognize where in a three-dimensional space the tip of that arm is located. Now, in all types of medicine, and as you mentioned, all types of industry, robots have taken over a lot of different positions. And
tasks.
It's a good thing, a lot of tasks. Robots can be used because it's safer sometimes to use robots. But I always think of it in the auto industry analogy. Sometimes things can be done more precisely and accurately using a robot. And that's where it comes into this field. Now, in the medical field, we always hear about the Da Vinci. And the Da Vinci is a wonderful device used for gynecological, general surgery, and other procedures. And in the Da Vinci, it's
also a robot.
It is a robot, and the surgeon is controlling the robot, not actually at the patient, and the robot's doing all the work. Well, orthopedics are a little bit different. So when we do a conventional hip replacement, for instance, we'll open up the patient, we'll expose their hip, we'll remove some bone, and then we'll put in a metal cup into their pelvis and a metal stem into their thigh with a new ball and socket, and that's how a hip replacement works. Now, we want those metal pieces to be positioned in the most accurate possible way. And all surgeons think that our eyes are perfect and that we're never wrong, and I hate to break it to myself and to other people, occasionally we're not 100%. So what we've been able to do, and we're actually the first facility between Buffalo and New York City that has this technology in New York State, is patients get a CAT scan prior to surgery. So we've made the determination that you need surgery. We get a CAT scan. Then we take the CAT scan and we build a three-dimensional model of either your hip or knee, depending on what we're doing. And we computer graphically build this 3D model that I can then look at. And I look at your anatomy and I say, in the case of a hip, this is where I want to put the cup. I want the cup to be at 45 degrees and 20 degrees this way, and I want it to be this deep into the bone. So I sit down and I mark it all out, and then this is all before surgery. And then we get into the operating room. And in the operating room, I do a conventional hip replacement. The incision's not much different than the incision that we've been doing all along. And we start the surgery off very similarly, but instead we mark certain points. We mark how long your leg is. We mark how far away the tip of your hip is to the center of your pelvis. And then we actually mark all the spots in the bone. And we have a special marker that has a tracker on it, and the robotic arm can read that. And it then correlates all the spots I put with the three-dimensional model we built before surgery. And as long as we're within a half a millimeter, the computer confirms that we've marked out all the spots correctly.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Robert Sherman. He's an orthopedic surgeon, and we're talking about a new robotic procedure to assist in joint rehabilitation. So the robot really allows you to be very precise and very accurate in terms of the placement, in this case, of a total hip replacement. How about with some of the other procedures you are talking about as well?
So the other aspect is in partial knee replacements. As of today, the robotic device can be used for partial knee replacements and total hip replacements. The total hip replacement, we just talked a little bit about how precisely that puts it in. A partial knee replacement is like a total knee replacement, but instead of replacing the whole knee, you're replacing just one aspect of the knee, whether it's underneath the kneecap, the inside part of your knee, or the outside part of your knee. And this is really good in patients that have arthritis in only one area of their knee. So we don't need to replace their whole knee if it's only in one area. The hard part is, conventionally, it's hard to see things if you're only working in a small window. So again, it's a much more precise way to put in that partial knee replacement. Just as in the hip, we mark out certain spots, we build a three-dimensional model, and then the robotic arm comes in with a burr attached to it and actually minimally removes as little bone as necessary to allow a metal piece to fit into where the arthritic bone was and recreate the knee joint.
Can we also get a picture of his, so is the surgeon like at a joystick? And in other words, the surgeon's sitting at a console, the patient is on an operating table of some kind, and the arm is doing...
Well, that's more like how the Da Vinci in general surgery and, okay, and gynecological surgery is.
So how does this
work? In this situation, the surgeon is always in control. So the surgeon isn't sitting at a console. The surgeon isn't sitting in front of a computer module. The surgeon's actually controlling everything, and the actual tools are in the surgeon's hand. But also, that tool's connected to my hand. I have full control on it. I'm the one that puts the power on and the power off. But it's also connected to a robotic arm. And that robotic arm is connected to a series of computers that knows in a 3D dimensional model exactly where I am. So, for instance, if I'm doing the surgery and my assistant bumps into my elbow, it won't let me go outside where I want to go. So it's a way to help accurately and precisely put these pieces in exactly where we want.
So it's a major assistant. It's, in other words, it's like a surgical assistant that keeps you in a certain plane, in a certain direction, and moving only, you know, so your placement is exactly accurate.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. It's a second check system to make sure that where I want to go is where I actually want to go, and confirms it based off of the patient's anatomy.
So what do you think, I mean, you've done this now for a bit, am I correct?
Yes, I have.
So what kind of outcomes, how have the outcomes changed? Is there, for example, less time in rehabilitate or in healing and rehabilitation? What's the impact of this?
A lot of it we don't know yet, and a lot of it is going to be trends, and I can't tell you for 15 or 20 years whether this is actually going to pan out to be as great as we think it is. And the problem is, conventionally, knee and hip replacements last around 10 to 20 years. So every time we change something, we can run it in simulators, but simulators don't actually recreate what they are in humans. So I have to wait 15, 20 years to tell you whether this is going to make it any better than what we're doing today.
In terms of longevity, but how about in the short term in terms of patients?
What we know is that the components are placed in a much more accurate position. If, for instance, 5 or 10% of the time, the components are not exactly where we think they should be, this may decrease that to less than 1% of the time. So if you're the 90% of patients that it was put in perfectly, it won't change anything. However, if you're that 10% of patients that it wasn't put in where we thought it was, you're going to now get a more accurate, precise placement of your
joint
replacement.
And does that translate into functionality, improve functionality?
We think patients are going to have less pain, more mobility, easier recovery, and more importantly, we hope and think that maybe instead of lasting 15 years, we'll get 20 or 25 years out of it.
Those sound like very positive benefits and certainly worth the effort, I think. And it sounds like, does it make your job a little bit easier as well?
It does make my job a little bit easier. It helps accurately and comfortably. When I leave the operating room, I know everything's perfect. I don't have to second guess myself.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and sharing that very, very exciting information with us. My guest has been Dr. Robert Sherman. He's assistant professor of orthopedic surgery, specializing in joint reconstructive surgery at Upstate Medical University. Well, here's to the robot. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Thanks again.
Thank you.